Next Thursday, as we know, already been told, September the 29th is the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets, as we all know, pictures Jesus Christ's return to this tired old world, this tired old earth. And these couple of days now, over the next couple of days leading up to the Feast of Trumpets, they might picture, symbolically, might picture the time leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. We call this time the last days, or the end times, or the time of the end. And God's Word says a lot about the time of the end. And I want to please turn over to Daniel chapter 11. I just want to read one end time scripture right here, a very well known one. Daniel chapter 11. And verse 40. Just want to get the time setting here of this prophecy. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. And at the time of the end, and that again is the time preceding that symbolized by the Feast of Trumpets, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. That's all I need from there. Just go down now into chapter 12, please. Chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, again, the time of the end, as we've already seen, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, great angelic prince, we know, who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. All of these mentions of that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. Jump down to verse 4, please. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And now this is what I want to get into today. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So what will many, many people be doing in the end times? God tells us through Daniel, many shall run to and fro. So what is this running to and fro that Daniel's talking about here? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Well, the implication in this particular case is that it's a bad thing. Now, we had the Beatles before, but when I think of this phrase running to and fro in this regard, I think of an old Chuck Berry song. I don't know whether you've heard it. It's called Too Much Monkey Business. I'm not going to play it. But the verse starts, I've got some smiles there, so some of you remember it. It starts off, running to and fro, hard working at the mill. Never fails in the mail, there comes a rotten bill. And it goes on from there. It's a humorous rock and roll song, and it tells a story of a young man whose life is totally out of control. He's running to and fro. He's got school obligations. He's got two jobs to make ends meet. He's got salespeople who are trying to talk him into buying things that he doesn't want and he doesn't need. And he's got a girlfriend who's trying to talk him into something else that he doesn't want. That's marriage. But this young fella's life is out of control. He's got a life of running to and fro. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been like this from time to time. Have you? Do you ever get this way? Are you this way now? Are you running to and fro? What I'd like to do in the split sermon this afternoon is to encourage you and myself too, as this upcoming Feast of Trumpets brings us closer to the time of the end, to encourage us to stop frantically running to and fro after fruitless pursuits and excesses, which is the monkey business of this world, and encourage us to get our end time priorities right. Get our priorities right. Now the term to and fro, believe it or not, is mentioned 23 times in the King James Version of the Bible. 23 times. And there's many different aspects of the phrase in the Bible, and they're not all negative either. Yes, there are the negative ones, referring to Satan and wayward men, wayward human beings, but there are also very positive ones too, which refer to God and his servants. Many of the to and fro scriptures, believe it or not, are very relevant to the four holy days and to the end times. And today, I'd like to examine just a few of the most relevant ones. I'm going to start with an unusual one in Psalm 107, if you would turn there, please. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Now who are they that the psalmist is talking about here? To find out, we have to go back to verse 23. Go back to 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. Okay, that's unusual. Let's think about that for a minute. When a severe storm comes up, even the most experienced sailors can reel to and fro, staggering like drunkards and even paralyzed by fear. But does God really have something specifically against they that go down to the sea in ships? And they that do business in great waters? And what does that have to do with God's people? Well, he doesn't have something against all of the sailors, those who go down to sea in ships, but some of them, yes, he does. And especially those who are servants of the earth's wicked merchants. And that's where we start to get involved, as you'll see as we go along. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 18, please. Revelation chapter 18. You don't have to turn there, but back in Revelation chapter 12, we read that when Satan and his demons are cast out of heaven and down to earth, a great woe will come on the inhabitants of the earth, but also on the inhabitants of the sea. And then over in Revelation chapter 16, again you don't have to turn there, we read that when the second vial plague or bowl plague is poured out, every living soul in the sea will die. Now that probably mainly refers to fish and whales and that kind of thing. But it may also include human shipmasters and sailors who also dwell on the sea in their ships and boats. As we continue in the book of Revelation, we get to chapter 17, which describes the beast and Babylon the Great. And in verse 18, as we begin verse 18, we see a description of Babylon the Great being cut down and burned. But we also see the effect of her destruction, the destruction of Babylon the Great, the effect on the shipmasters, the merchants, and the sailors. Okay, so let's start then in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Jump down to verse 11. And the merchants of the earth, see this repetition of the merchants of the earth, shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. Down to verse 14. And the fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Down to verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off. Verse 19, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. So we see that God does have things against some of these the masters of cargo ships and the sailors, those who carry out the orders of wicked merchants, dishonest merchants, who bring the toys and the treasures, tempting God's people with excess. Let's jump back into the Old Testament again. Proverbs 21, please, just one verse here. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 6. It's another to and fro verse. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Now we know that wealth is not evil of itself, and some of the luxuries that we enjoy in Canada is not, they're not wicked or sin of themselves. And neither is being a merchant or a sailor or the master of a cargo ship. Some of Jesus' disciples were seafarers, actually lakefarers, I guess you'd call them. They were fishermen. And the Bible mentions people who were wealthy and godly, you know, of various examples. But what Solomon is getting at here is that the pursuit of wealth in a dishonest way is evil. And so is, as far as we're concerned, is giving a higher priority to physical treasures rather than to God's spiritual treasures. So God tells us here through Solomon that putting these both of these sins together adds up to the spirit of vanity tossed to and fro, he says, by those who seek death. Now that's an interesting phrase. Does anyone really seek death? Anyone really seek death? Is Solomon perhaps writing about suicidal people here? No. He's rather talking about people who should know better. Who should know better what their priorities should be. But for some reason they vainly shove the right priorities aside and pursue excess, physical excess, all of the stuff, brethren, that riches can buy. And this ultimately can lead to Satan's way of death, which is the way of death. Please turn over to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 16. From the ends of the earth we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I said, I am ruined. Woe to me. The treacherous dealers, or merchants, have dealt treacherously. Indeed, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Verse 17, fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. And that can include us, because the excessive desire for toys can be a snare, can be a very clever trap by Satan. Jump down to verse 20. The earth shall reel to and fro. There it is again. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. That's like a poorly constructed building. its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Just like Babylon the Great. So here we have a picture of the whole end time earth tottering to and fro like a drunken man. And the world conditions here are linked to the sins of unscrupulous merchants and treacherous dealers, and secondly to the sins and the lusts and the unwise choices of the average human being. Please turn forward to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verses 1 to 4. Beginning at verse 1. Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. I want you to get the time setting right there. The time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourself up, nations shall be scattered, and your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. So this describes those who God will choose to use for his purpose in the end times, running upon these treacherous merchants and their customers too, in a similar way as locusts descending, a cloud of locusts descending on fields of crops, suddenly and inescapably running to and fro on them and devouring them completely. It's a frightening prospect. It'd be too late to do anything about it then. Once the time of trouble comes, once the time of trouble is in full swing, so it's better for us all to do what we can about it now and to get our priorities right now. Now the next to and fro scripture is in Ezekiel. Please turn over to Ezekiel chapter 27. Ezekiel chapter 27. And it's part of Ezekiel's lament for the city of Tyre. But this, the indictment that he says here, that he goes through, can also be extended to modern Israel, to ancient Israel as well, but modern Israel. And we can see how God repeatedly frowns upon these wicked merchants that are out there. So Ezekiel chapter 27, we're going to skip through this quite a lot and miss a lot of verses out. It's kind of interesting to read it all the way through, but I don't want to repeat over and over what he says here. Okay, Ezekiel 27 and verse 3. And say unto Tyrus, O you that are situate at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people, there it is again, for many isles, thus says the Lord God, O Tyrus, you have said, I am of perfect beauty. Who does that remind you of? It should remind you of somebody. We'll come to that. Jump down to verse 9, please. Verse 9. The ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in you, your caulkers, and a caulker is a ship repairer or a carpenter. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in you to occupy your merchandise. Verse 12, Tarshish was your merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in your fares. Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were your merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in your market. Slavery going on there. Verse 15, the men of Dedan were your merchants. many aisles with the merchandise, property being sold there. They brought you for a present, horns of ivory and ebony. And it goes on, it goes down, and it discusses virtually every single kind of luxury that is available out there. Verse 18, Damascus was your merchant in the multitude of the wares of your making, for the multitude of all riches in the wine of Helbon and white wool. Dan and also and Javan, going to and fro. There's that phrase again. It brings it in and talk in relation to these merchants and to these shipmasters as well. Occupied in your fairs, bright iron, cassia and calamus, don't know what they are, were in your market. And again, on and on it goes, verse 27. The riches and your fairs, your merchandise, your mariners and your pilots, your caulkers, there's those ship repairers and carpenters again, and the occupiers of your merchandise, and all your men of war that are in you. And this is like the military protecting the nations. Our nations today are oil-based hedonistic lifestyle. That's what that is talking about in the end time concept. And in all your company which is in the midst of you shall fall into the midst of the seas and the day of your ruin. Verse 33, when your words went forth out of the seas, you filled many people. You did enrich the kings of the earth with your multitude, with the multitude of your riches and of your merchandise. In the time when you shall be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company in the midst of you shall fall. Shall fall like Babylon the Great, probably at the same time. So who's behind all of this evil excess merchandising? Is it the ancient people of Tyre? Maybe it was back then. But is this a dual prophecy? What about today? Is it the modern Chinese who make most of the junk that we use, you know? Well, no. God tells us who's behind it in the very next chapter. And you're very familiar with this. Go over, please, to Ezekiel. Am I wrong here? No, I'm not. Ezekiel chapter 28. Yeah, the very next chapter. Over there. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. And we all know who this is. In Isaiah chapter, you don't have to turn there, Isaiah chapter 14, he's called Hallel, name not Lucifer. His name wasn't Lucifer, it was Hallel, H-E-Y-L-E-L. And his name was changed to Satan, the adversary, the one who withstands against God and his people. Continue in verse 16. By the multitude of your merchandise, there it is again, brings it back into the context again. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. And we know that excess can lead to violence and rioting and all kinds of other sins, and we've seen this in just a few months ago in our own country, in the city of Vancouver. We've seen rioting and looting, and in London, in the city of London in the UK. Therefore I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Now that's interesting. And if you think about the traffic and the running to and fro with all of the merchandise and trade that we see out there. If you ever go to Vancouver, go down to English Bay and look out there in the bay, and you'll see ship after ship after ship with all Japanese and Korean names on them, just waiting to, they don't even have enough docks for all of the ships to dock and unload their wares in there, stuff that we go out and buy. Your traffic, therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. So over and over, God prophesies about that system is going to be destroyed. And Satan is behind all of this evil, excessive merchandising. Again, there's nothing wrong with the things that we use them today, you know, the electronics and everything else. But we're talking about excess here, where we're just going over the top. We've got to have the latest TV. We've got to have the latest cell phone. We've got to have the latest this, that, and the other. And Satan is behind all of this. And he's behind all of this unrighteous kind of running to and fro. Well, let's change it for a bit now. And let's look at some righteous, God-ordained running to and fro. Please turn to the unlikely book of Jeremiah for this. Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's see what we see here. Jeremiah chapter 5. Just one verse. To and fro verse. Verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executes judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. So says God. So God here is commanding Jeremiah in vision to run to and fro through the end time streets of Jerusalem, and to see if anyone is still executing righteous judgment, and if anyone is still seeking the truth of God. Now, if any of us have a liking, a penchant for running to and fro, this, I believe, is the kind of running to and fro that we should be doing. Seeking the preaching of God's truth. Seeking the execution of righteous judgment. So God inspired Jeremiah to imply that the preaching of the truth would be scarce in end time Jerusalem. And please turn over to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos after Joel. Amos chapter 8. Because through Amos, God extends Jeremiah's prophecy in a way. God extends the prophecy to include all Israel, not just Jerusalem. And both are likely, both Jerusalem in Jeremiah's prophecy and Israel in Amos's prophecy, both likely symbolize the end time Church of God. Amos chapter 8. And he, this is the Lord God, said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. And then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. This is the end time again, brethren. This is the time of the end. The end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Jump down to verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And there we have a frightening possibility again. God has shown us here that there's a time limit. There's going to be a time limit where the access to God's word is going to be cut off. And later, and we don't have to go there now, but Jesus Christ, who was the Lord of the Old Testament, who inspired these prophecies by Jeremiah and Amos, he repeated basically the same end time prophecy. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The frightening possibilities that the answer could be, maybe not. So God's word and God's truth and faith and righteous judgments, these are the true priorities. Jesus said that they must be our priorities now. Let's go to Matthew, please, chapter 23. Just one verse there. Matthew chapter 23. Just to see that Jesus tells us what our priorities should be. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And Luke's version actually adds the love of God, the agape love of God that Peter was talking about earlier. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The weightier matters of the law, brethren, these are stern warnings. And we must be seeking faith and the love of God and all of the other fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we must be seeking righteous judgment and the plain truth of God's word. And not just seeking them, living them, brethren. Living them. Okay, just one more scripture today, for today. One more to and fro scripture. And this is the classic Feast of Trumpets scripture. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy day, in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. The Feast of Trumpets is coming up next Thursday. It's a happy day because we think about Jesus Christ's return and the first resurrection and those things. But it's also a dark day because of the fearful events that have to happen. Now, continuing, still in verse 2. And by the way, this is a parallel. We read Isaiah chapter 33, and this is like a parallel to the Isaiah 33, the locust scripture that we read earlier on. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Jump down to verse 9, please. Verse 9. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. Pretty scary stuff. Verse 11. The Lord gives voice before his army, and his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? And then verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. He repeats that. Blow the trumpet in Zion. It's a warning. In Zion is a symbol of God's church. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. So in verse 15 there, we are to acknowledge before God what is coming, what must come, and that righteous action, brethren, is required. So in conclusion, we get many warning lessons from all of these to and fro scriptures, and I obviously in short time I haven't even had the time to touch on so many more. And the lessons, the main lessons that I see in here anyway, are that we need to beware, brethren, we need to beware of unrighteous, the unrighteous type of running to and fro after excess. And in, to do that, we need to beware of advertising, to be honest. You know, we have to be careful because, you know, they're pretty tempting, a lot of that stuff out there. But let's beware of accumulating too much stuff. I think most of us who are, you know, beyond 39, like Joe said there, is, you know, we find that we've got all of this stuff from years ago and we don't use any of it, you know. We have so much stuff. We have too many toys. And those toys can take our minds and our time away from what should be our real priorities. So we need to put our time and our effort into the righteous kind of running to and fro that we read about, after righteous judgment, after mercy and faith and the love of God, the word of God, the truth of God, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that should be, these are the things that must be our real priorities. And why? Because, brethren, they are God's priorities.